Hello, this is Dave with the commercial news dated Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019, and we will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined District 118 to hear about project near DHS by Carol Rahm. Danville District 118 school board members will hear Wednesday about a plan the city has to redevelop the corner of Fairchild and Hazel Streets near Danville High School. David Schnell, City of Danville's Community Development Director, will approach the board about acquiring a right-of-way from the district so the project may proceed. The district would be asked to transfer a corner of that intersection to the city for intersection work that would include replacing the traffic signals and equipment, adding LED street lighting, widening the intersection for better school bus movement, and lengthening the left turn lane on Hazel Street, according to Schnell in an email. In addition, Hazel Street would be repaved with curb ramps being brought up to ADA compliance and traffic signal high visibility backplates and high visibility crosswalks would be installed. Also on Wednesday, board members will consider accepting the election abstract of votes from the April 2nd consolidated general election in which incumbents Bill Dobbles, Gladys Davis, and the Reverend Thomas Miller were re-elected to four-year terms. They will swear in the newly elected board members and elect new school board officers. They will set the school board meeting calendar from May through April 2020. They will learn about board members being mandated reporters for the Abused and Neglected Child Report Act. Also, hear a report on the Northeast Elementary Magnet Colorburst 5K Run Walk event that took place April 13th. They will consider applying for a Community Action 2020 grant, review a first reading of the 219-2020 Ownership in Education Handbook, consider approving the proposed amended traditional, balanced, and pre-kindergarten calendars for the 2019-2020 school year so that there are 176 student attendance days as required by law. They will also consider approving the school fees for the 2020 school year, consider approving leveled readers curriculum for elementary students, and consider approving summer refresh in the technology department. Then they will hear about results of a pre-kindergarten survey, and they will hear about summer programming in the district. The next article is titled, It Takes a Village, Friends Sponsor Benefits to Help Disabled Young Man, by Mary Wyckoff, Georgetown. Everyone is invited to be part of Andy Stegmeyer's pit crew. The young man is so passionate about NASCAR and other sports that he wears a lime green t-shirt in honor of Dale Earnhardt Jr., proclaiming himself as a motorsports owner. Others can be part of the pit crew. Those shirts and other attractions will be available May 11th at a benefit to help Andy and his parents, Lucia and Perry Stegmeyer of Georgetown, as they struggle with medical expenses. It gets overwhelming sometimes, Lucia said. Andy, 30, has degenerative muscular dystrophy, which requires many trips to Indianapolis and special equipment. The benefit is being arranged by Louise Buck and Bob Tursak, who have been friends with the Stegmeyers for 40 years. The benefit to help the Stegmeyers will be from 3 p.m. to closing Saturday, May 11th, at the Knights of Columbus, 310 Bryan Avenue, Danville. There also will be a benefit softball game this weekend, with some of the proceeds going to the family. At the May 11th event, there will be food, music, live and silent auctions, and a 50-50 raffle. T-shirts will be on sale for $20. A guitarist will perform the first hour, and Left 4 Dead will play later. More bands are welcome to donate their time. There also will be a silent auction and live auction offering items such as a grill, wooden crafts, baskets, essential oils, Cubs items, a nice print of the Masonic Temple, gift certificates to restaurants, a smoker, and others. For the 50-50 raffle, tickets are $1 each or 6 for $5. The Stegemeyers said there was a benefit for Andy when he was born in 1988 with multiple medical issues, and another several years ago sponsored by their church, Trinity Lutheran. However, the bills keep adding up, and now the van used to transport Andy and his equipment needs some mechanical work. "It's one step forward and two steps back," Perry said of their financial situation. "We're hoping to get everything paid off and then stay afloat," Lucia said. Neither Lucia or Perry is working now, as they have their own health issues. Perry retired from Aramark and became a route driver for Lynn Care Incorporated for 11 years until he suffered a work-related injury. Lucia worked as a certified occupational therapy assistant before health issues prevented her from working. When Andy was born, he needed a tracheostomy and feeding tube and spent 3 months at Riley Hospital for Children. He later was diagnosed with mitochondria encephalopathy disease, which affects the production of energy in his cells and causes low muscle tone. He had his second scoliosis surgery on his spine when he was 14. Because of his declining health and length trauma of the surgery, he must use a ventilator with oxygen and pressure support around the clock. During the past 30 years, he has required multiple surgeries, hospitalizations, and therapies. However, Andy was able to attend Danville schools and graduated from Danville High School in 2009, even going to prom. For a while, he had a volunteer job watering plants in the offices at Danville Area Community College. He played Ambucks Challenger sports when younger, and now likes to watch the sports commentary shows on television. Andy has a special remote control that he uses to change channels. Although he doesn't speak, Andy knows some sign language, understands what's being said, and likes to joke around. "He's a people person," Lucia said. "He gives the best hugs of anybody." As Andy got older, there were fewer resources and less funding available for him. The family has had to cover some things, such as supplements and bed pads, out of pocket. The parents appreciate all the help they're getting as they care for Andy, saying it really does take a village to raise a child. "Nobody can get through this life without somebody being there to help," Lucia said. The next article is titled, "Benefit Game Calls Attention to Suicide Awareness," by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. Jordan Buck was a young man who loved sports until his life was cut short at age 31 on October 18, 2017. To celebrate his life and to help others, parents Joe and Louise Buck and family friend Bob Terzak are spearheading a memorial co-ed softball tournament this weekend at Winter Park. The event will be Saturday and Sunday. Rain dates will be May 3rd and 4th. Concessions and a bounce house will be available. Proceeds will go to Working Out PTSD, which helps veterans relieve stress through gym memberships, and the Perry Stegemeyer family of Georgetown, whose son has a form of muscular dystrophy. Jordan's mother, Louise Buck, said she wanted some of the proceeds to go to a local suicide prevention group. "The issue is close to her heart, as her son took his own life." Buck met Julia Wilson and Jenny Lou Merrill at Angel Moms of Central Illinois, a grief support group for mothers who have lost children. Wilson and Merrill are founders of Working Out PTSD, which pays gym memberships for qualified veterans. Wilson and Merrill lost their sons to suicide. Buck said, "They have helped me so much in this journey of grief." She copes by devoting herself to her work as a registered nurse at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare Systems Veterans Village and by putting on the benefits. Working out helps veterans relieve their stress and helps them make connections with other people. The physical exercise serves as a possible preventative for veterans who haven't been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Some veterans could have a mild form of PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and not realize it. Because of Jordan's love of sports, his parents decided on the softball tournament. Jordan enjoyed hunting and sports, watching or playing softball, baseball, basketball, and hockey. Some of his favorite teams were the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago Blackhawks. "Jordan loved baseball and all sports," said Lucia Stegemeyer, whose disabled son also loved sports. "If he were here, he'd be all in. He was that kind of person. He was a wonderful kid." "Being aware of mental health issues is important," Stegemeyer said, adding, "You never know who has something that makes them say, 'Why do I bother?'" Little acts of kindness, such as helping somebody carry his groceries, go a long way. For the slow pitch tournament, entrance fee per team is $150. Balls will be provided, and there will be a 65-minute time limit. Teams will have 10 people and a 15-person roster. A mandatory rule is that three women must be in play at all times. First prize is $250 and second prize is $150. Organizers hope to make the memorial tournament an annual event, with proceeds going to suicide prevention awareness and to another struggling family. "We want to help people who need help," Stegemeyer said. Buck said many people have helped her with the softball tournament, especially Paula Masulason, who shared some good ideas. And next we have "Cross Country Runner to Stop in Hoopston" by Carol Hicks. Bjorn Sunesson from Stockholm, Sweden, is running his 7th coast-to-coast trek this year, stopping Thursday in Hoopston for a third visit with the community and area residents. In a note last January to the Hoopston Chamber of Commerce, he stated, "I'm now planning my 7th coast-to-coast run, and it looks like all roads lead to Hoopston." The 71-year-old Sunesson expects to arrive around 8 p.m. Thursday, kick off a little road dust, and dine at Fast Lane's Bowling Alley restaurant with the Chamber. Starting in Huntington Beach, California, he will cover 3,183 miles by the time he finishes in New York, expecting his trek to end on the 95th day of the run. Last year, Sunesson started his 2018 run by participating in the Boston Marathon before heading west with a stopover in Hoopston. In 2014, he stopped the first time on his long-distance run, which began in Long Beach, California. On each visit, the Chamber provided room and a meal for the night and expects to do the same for this third visit. Sunesson's route this year will run through California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and finally New York. He runs unassisted without any side run. He runs unassisted without any side vehicles. His only mode of transportation, in addition to his feet, is a baby jogger in which all his gear is stored. Any extra items, such as shoes and tires, water and snack items, he picks up at different towns along the route. Swinson does stay in motels and sometimes a B&B along the way, eating at restaurants and McDonald's. Only a few times has he had to camp out overnight during his runs. One problem cropped up in Nebraska this year, he blogged, saying, "Floods in Nebraska forced me to change the route." He did get back on the planned route once he bypassed the floods. The first time Swinson ran in the United States was in 2005, when he ran from Chicago to New Orleans, a distance of 1,000 miles. He used a backpack in that first run with a handheld motorcycle GPS to keep him on the route. He admitted it was the most difficult run he attempted. Swinson is a retired economic journalist from Stockholm and is the unofficial world record holder in coast-to-coast running. To follow the rest of Bjorn Swinson's journey across the United States, visit his blog at www.sunson.se. Now we'll continue with the death notices on page 3A. Gerald Dunn Wyckoff, 96, of Danville, passed away early Sunday, April 21st, 2019, at home, surrounded by his family. Funeral Mass will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 25th, at Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street, Danville. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 24th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with a prayer service at 3:30 p.m. Memorials may be made to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter or Holy Family Catholic Church. Also passed, Lillian Florence Cooley. Passed this life to be with her Lord and Savior on April 19th, 2019, at the age of 91, at North Logan Health Care Center, surrounded by her loving family. Visitation will be 9 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, April 24th, at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville. Service will follow at 10:30 a.m. at the funeral home, with Pastor Patty Wise officiating. Burial will follow at Danville National Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in her name to Union Corner United Methodist Church. Also, Ida Bell Condon, 90, of Oakwood, Illinois, passed away a few minutes after midnight, Thursday, April 11th, 2019, at her daughter's home in Chattanooga, Tennessee. An informal memorial will be at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, April 27th, at Oakwood Methodist Church. Come prepared to share memories. And also, Gerald C. Spriesterbach of Covington, Indiana. Gerald Jerry C. Spriesterbach, 87, of Covington, passed away Friday, April 19th at 3:25 a.m. at Franciscan Health Lafayette East in Lafayette, Indiana. Graveside services with military honors and interment will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Saturday, June 1, at Lower Mound Cemetery, north of Perrysville, Indiana. Following the graveside services, a celebration of life gathering will be held at the Cayuga Community Center. Contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society. Also passed, William Ward Williams, 93, of Danville, passed away at 6:30 p.m. EDT, Sunday, April 21st, at North Logan Healthcare in Danville. Funeral services, 12:30 p.m. EDT, Friday, April 26th, at Deverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana. Visitation, 11:30 a.m. EDT until time of services on Friday, April 26th at the funeral home. And continuing with the sports headline, offensive response, sixth run, fifth, propels Comets past Corn Jerkers by Chad Dare in Oakwood. At any level of baseball, the ability to avoid giving up crooked number innings is key to your success. And when you get one of those big innings, it's imperative to keep the other team from scoring in its next at-bat. On Monday night, Oakwood was not only able to post four scoreless innings against the Hoopston area, but the Comets also answered every Corn Jerkers run with at least one of its own. Being able to score and then hold your opponent scoreless is important, whether you are playing Little League Baseball or Major League Baseball, said Hoopston area coach Richard Harbisek. I think we had the momentum swinging our way after the three-run homer from Max Kahn tied the game at 5-5 in the fifth inning, but, give Oakwood credit, they came back with a big inning of their own. We were not able to seize the momentum and keep the positive energy on our side. Oakwood didn't just respond with a run or two. The Comets sent all nine batters to the plate, scoring six times, three of those coming on a home run to left by sophomore third baseman Isaiah Rutsch. I don't know if they had the momentum. We just always go up to the plate trying to hit line drives and put runs on the board, said Rutsch, who also had a solo home run in the first inning. Oakwood coach Ryan McFarland acknowledged that his team has been in a number of unusual games this season. The Comets overcame 10-run deficit to beat the Schlarman Academy Hilltoppers on April 9th, and the very next day, Oakwood rallied from a 6-run deficit in the 7th inning to beat Westville 9-7 in 9 innings. I think our guys really enjoy baseball, he said. They believe in going until there are 3 outs in an inning or 21 outs in a game. As long as we have the bat in our hands, we think that we are going to find a way to score, at least a run and maybe more. And that was the case on Monday. Oakwood scored all 6 of its runs in the 5th inning after the Comets had 2 outs. Getting the 2-out offensive barrage started was leadoff hitter Brady Howard, who went 4-for-5 with 4 runs scored, and he also drove home 3 RBIs. Howard broke the 5-5 tie with an RBI single to center after a walk to Noah Rutsch loaded the bases. Winning pitcher Elijah Harden drew the bases loaded job of playing defense and pitching. We need to do a better job of playing defense and pitching, McFarland said. Elijah only had that one bad inning, and we can find a way to avoid that. Then we can compete for a conference and a regional title. In the postseason, you don't often see teams scoring a bunch of runs and outscoring their opponents. Oakwood sealed its victory with a 4-run sixth as Howard delivered another RBI single, and Harden ended the game with a walk-off 2-run single, giving the Comets the win by the 10-run mercy rule. Hoopston area, which falls to 7-15 overall and 4-4 in the VVC, was led by senior center fielder Graham Eigner, who went 3-for-3 with 2 runs scored, and he also had an RBI. And one more article from local news, Champaign News Gazette, regarding the murder trial, titled Man Bought Car Used in Murder Off Craigslist, Danville, by Noel McGee. An Indianapolis man testified Monday that back in August 2015, when he was trying to start a car parts salvage business, he paid a man $400 for a blue Chevy Malibu and picked it up at a home on the east side of the city. Demetrius Edwards also testified that the Gmail account listed in the Craigslist ad, which advertised the car, included the name Glenn Torres and the contact name Glenn. And even though he said Torres looked a little different than he did 3.5 years ago, Edwards identified him in the courtroom as the man from whom he bought the car. Edwards' testimony came on the fourth full day of Torres' murder trial in the August 2, 2015 deaths of Theodore Teddy Hill, 29, and Zara Strickland, 28, of Danville, whose bodies were found early morning on August 4th of that year on a vacant property at 322 Western Avenue, west of town. The trial, which began the afternoon of April 15th, resumes today. Last week, Marquis Robinson, a self-described former low-level drug dealer, testified that on August 1, 2015, his dealer, the late Joshua J. Robinson, told him he put a hit on two men, Terlandon Givens and Mr. Hill, after Givens robbed and shot the dealer in the leg the day before. Marquis Robinson also testified that later that day, Torres paid him $200 to drive him around in his girlfriend's blue Chevy Malibu to look for the men. Then, late that night into the next morning, when he was driving Torres, Mr. Hill, and Miss Strickland to Torres' car, Torres shot Mr. Hill in the back of the head, ordered him at gunpoint to drive to a location west of Danville, where he dumped the bodies, then ordered him to drive him to his home on the east side of Indianapolis. Furthermore, Robinson testified that after Torres and the defendant's uncle, David Mott, were unable to clean the Malibu, he turned it over to Torres, who sold it. Under questioning by Assistant Illinois Attorney General Mary Claire Nicholson on Monday, Edwards said he saw the Malibu he bought advertised on Craigslist and exchanged a few texts with the seller about the car's condition. Edwards identified the phone number from which the seller texted him, and it was the same number, a Sprint representative testified last week, belonged to Tori's girlfriend, Tamara Page. Page testified last week that her boyfriend used her phone. Edwards said he went to the seller's house on the east side of Indianapolis to pick up the car, and when he arrived, a man, whom he identified as Torres, and his girlfriend were there. After paying the seller, he said he got a bill of sale and was told the seller was waiting to receive the title in the mail. Edwards said he was able to drive the car, which surprised him. "I was thinking it was just a parts car. That's what it was listed for," he said. "It was fully working, so I just drove off." Then in late September, Edwards said his brother was driving the car when he was pulled over and arrested and the car was impounded. Edwards said he called police to let them know his brother wasn't involved, and he later identified the vehicle's seller to police and turned over screenshots of text messages between the two and a video of the car that the seller sent him. Edwards said he also tried texting and calling the seller, but only received one reply via text, saying there were some problems with the car and the police had a hold on it. He said that was the last time he saw the car. Well, that concludes reading for today. This has been Dave with the commercial news for Tuesday, April 23rd, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.